A Family Romance, written by Anita Bruckner and read by Fiona Shaw.
I thought of her as the aunt rather than as my aunt, for anything more intimate would have implied appropriation or attachment. Attachment came later, in a form that was wistful, almost painful. At the same time, it is only fair to say that I never felt for her that simple affection which is unreflecting, almost a background to one's emotional existence, something one takes for granted, as if it had been born with one, or rather, as if it had come complete at one's birth, part of the panoply of family life. I like to read about this sort of thing, even as a child, as if I were missing it, longing for it, when all the time I was perfectly happy, at home, and at peace with my mother and father. In these contexts, both real and imaginary, Dolly, the aunt, was a misfit. It was without surprise that I learnt that Dolly was not her real name, though I doubt whether in the long run this has much significance. She was a presence, or rather an absence, which seemed to give rise to a certain anxiety, at least on the part of my mother, who was her sister-in-law, and whose beloved brother Hugo Dolly had married, in circumstances of great romance, or so they seemed to me when I first came to know their story. It was a favourite story, recounted when I was very young, again by my mother, who was present at their first meeting. Dolly's absence I took for granted, for in the manner of fairy stories, I assumed that after the apotheosis it was natural for people to vanish. In fact, Dolly lived abroad, in Brussels, with my Uncle Hugo, whom I thought of as my uncle, and was encouraged to do so by my mother, who loved him dearly. He was a hero in her eyes, although even at a young age I sensed that my father felt less warmly towards him. Given their remote degree of affiliation, this was allowed, and consequently did not seem to matter. Dolly was the wife my uncle had acquired before my birth. I knew neither of them. A brief family visit to Brussels when I was 4 or 5 did not bring us any closer. My mother was concerned about her brother's health, and I was aware of anxious discussions behind closed doors. For that reason, I was taken out on long walks by my father, and of that visit I remember Dolly as part of the general discomfort, no more important than the wearisome length of the Rue de la Loi, where their flat was situated, and the, to me, menacing arch of the Cinquantenaire, which I thought marked the limit of the known world. Images of discomfort abound from that brief visit. My uncle was in bed, and every now and then I heard the tinkling of a bell which signified that he was awake or that he was hungry. He seemed lively enough for an invalid, was certainly exigent, ringing the bell at half-hourly intervals. The bell was answered by the maid, Annie Vercade, a grim, silent woman of whom I was vaguely frightened, although she paid no attention to me. I thought that Dolly and Hugo must be very poor, for there was no carpet on their shiny, creaking wooden floors, and the bed I was put into was in a room so bare that the only distraction was to watch the squares of light from the windows of the houses opposite, and to calculate who lived there and what they were doing. I liked to make up stories in which children featured, and as far as I could see, there was not another child in the whole of Brussels. I was clearly an embarrassment on that visit, when urgent family matters were being discussed. Because I had no idea what these could be, I was fretful, aware only of disquiet, of long, anxious colloquies between Dolly and my mother. I sensed that my mother was upset, and that Dolly was the cause of her unhappiness. I know now that Dolly had to bear the brunt of these discussions, because my uncle had removed himself from them. But at the time, I registered Dolly as an active, agitated presence, who abruptly stopped talking when I entered the room, and aimed a dazzling, artificial smile in my direction, as if expecting me to be impressed by her gallantry.